I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a mini episode of Pixels. I'm Patrick Beja, and usually we talk about the news from the video games industry. And last week I said it would probably be a couple of, maybe 3 weeks before the next episode would come around. And guess what? I'm not in Japan. I'm sure you already know this, and you might even be sick of hearing about it if you've been following me on social networks. But suffice to say, I couldn't go. I'm super sad about it. But what did that made possible is that I'm doing another episode. It's going to be a tiny one because I really just wanted to talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake and the demo that came out a couple of days ago. And because it's just surprisingly super exciting. And there's a ton of things that are happening in the industry. Lots of news, which I'm not going to get to. We'll get to in a couple of weeks with the next episode. But I really wanted to, well, I had a little bit of time and I love talking to you guys. So this is one that I thought would be cool to discuss because I'm just incredibly excited about it. And I didn't think I was going to be. I am usually not someone for nostalgia. I think it's clear if you've been listening to me for a while. I even scoff at nostalgia usually. It's not my thing, and I don't understand why people chase those old things when we... I consider most of the time we have better versions of them available today. And actually, that might... let me rearrange the mic a little bit. That might fit with the feelings that this... Final Fantasy VII Remake is eliciting, because it is old base, but very much in a new wrapper. It goes deeper than the wrapper, actually. It's really a reimagining of what that game would have been had it been developed for today's systems. And in that sense, it's very similar to what Capcom did with Resident Evil 2 last year, and what they're going to do again, it seems, with Resident Evil 3 this year. It's a it's not so it's not just a remake. They are basically, those two games, I think, are redefining what we can expect of a remake. It's not just remaking the game with updated graphics and maybe a tweak here and there to make it more palatable to more modern audiences and less grindy, difficult to get into, because that's what games were back then. It's really taking from the get-go, extracting the core, often just the style, the concept, and the main elements, and redeveloping them for today. And in that sense, I think, as different as the remake of Resident Evil 2 was from the original, today this goes even further with Final Fantasy VII. And before I even go into my impressions of the game itself, I think it's worth noting how far the Japanese developers have come from the beginning of this generation. They were in a really difficult, really precarious position back in the early to mid 2010s. They had lost their way, one can even say. They were so attached to old ways of doing things and things that were exclusive to Japan almost, that they couldn't learn from what was being done by more interesting and innovative developers in the West. And this is not that surprising for Japan. It's always been a, well, literally insular country, but in many other things as well. And throughout the past 5 to 10 years, not only have they regained, I think they're excelling in a kind of AA production, AA to AAA production style, which fits their capabilities and their market, and that also is open enough to welcome gamers from a wider audience in the West, not in the sense that super AAA games do that are global, but they reach, you know, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to just throw a number, you know, 30 to 50% of the global audience, and they offer something that more mainstream developers don't offer. And that is an asset, definitely an asset that we only see for those styles of games in Japan. So they've adapted in a way that that wasn't a given. Now it might seem like, well, of course they're going to do that and they're going to adapt and they're going to find a way to make those their thing, what they know how to do, palatable and accessible and accessible to Western audiences, but it wasn't a given. So I think that is a really interesting aspect of the development, and it is of the development of the Japanese game industry, and it is embodied, I think, by this version of Final Fantasy VII, which is the best of everything they know how to do. It relies on the nostalgia from that era of gaming where things that came from Japan were the thing that everyone wanted. And the launch of the PlayStation 1, which really launched video gaming into the general public, back from the era of Super Nintendo, which was, sure, very well known, but it was more of a hobbyist type activity. And of course, Final Fantasy VII, the switch of Square going from Nintendo to Sony, which was very dramatic at the time. And anyway, so most of you will remember how significant Final Fantasy VII was, and they rely on this, but they also create a product that is that has learned from what is being made today, which they didn't do for the longest time. In the early, let's say between 2000 and 2010, it was, well, maybe a little bit later than that, but it was really difficult for them to take the learnings from that. And I guess I'm going to come at this these impressions a little bit sideways since I'm talking about this, because I got an impression playing the game that has been echoed by a couple of people, so I think there's something to it. I think it was SkillUp, a YouTuber, which I enjoy, who was making that reference. There's a lot of feeling that echoes what is that echoes the game feel of God of War in Final Fantasy VII. Which is something which is kind of weird to even say because they are such different games. And to be clear, the systems are completely different. It is not, you know, they're not similar games, they're not similar genres, but the cinematic feel of the combat has something of that controlled badassery feeling from God of War. And by the way, SkillUp was saying that in his interview with Kitase, the game's producer, director, the guy who's calling the shots, he was saying that that was an inspiration. It's not, you can feel it, you can see it. And for a game which is a JRPG, it's absolutely not what you would expect. But I'll get back to the combat system, but that feeling is maybe what is the most surprising thing for me in the game. I had welcomed the news of a remake with a little bit of, let's say, I wasn't sure it would be for me. And as we've seen more and more over the past 2 or 3 years, I've kind of started getting intrigued by it more and more. And in the past few months, I got on board and I was really curious and eager to give it a try. But I never would have expected that the game system and the combat system would feel so great. And so to get back to the comparison with God of War, I think that this embodies what the transformation of the Japanese gaming industry from the past few years, which is just like everyone else in the gaming industry, they learn from the interesting things that others do. And it might not be one specific thing, but it's a general way of making the player act or feel a certain way. And it modernizes the whole experience. And so that might be the best example, the best blend of everything that's good now about Japanese games and video games in general. But I'll get back to it. I want to talk about the first thing you feel when you're getting into the game, and that's the graphics and the nostalgia, I guess. The graphics are really good. This game is extremely good looking. It's this generation for sure. It doesn't feel like, you know, next gen anything, but it is an impressive looking game. There's also a lot of nostalgia that plays into it. The music, I think, to someone who hasn't known the original game, might feel a little bit God, there's a Swedish term that comes to mind now. It feels jobbigt, which is like there's a lot of, it's like a lot of stuff going on, and it requires a lot of your attention. Like the music is often calling your attention, maybe a little bit too much. And I think this is because it's a reinterpretation of the original 16-bit music, which were synthy and very, each instrument was pointy and coming out quite a bit, but it works. It definitely works. And if you've known that original one and the original score, oh, I said 16-bit, it was PlayStation. Of course it wasn't. And maybe it's even a similar, I'm not even sure it was reorchestrated, but I guess my feeling is it was from that time where music for video games were still a little bit influenced by the previous generation. Maybe that's why I'm feeling that way, but it's definitely not less of a background music, it's more present than I think maybe we're used to in background musics in other games. But the nostalgia definitely works, and the seeing that intro, which is so emblematic and so well known for most gamers that are, I don't know, I guess over 30 today, it is... It's strong. It works. And it works, I think, even more than in other remakes or maybe than in Resident Evil 2, because there's such an artistic feel to the design of the world. Like, everything about it is unique. It feels like something that is immediately identifiable, and something that you're going back to, reimagined in the best possible way. So there's a lot of that, I think, which plays into it, at least for me. But that it doesn't stop there, thankfully. The dubbing is pretty good. I played the demo in English. I think I should have played it in Japanese because it's not... The thing is, the Japanese language has a lot of emphasis on a lot of syllables, and the way you speak kind of has these peaks and valleys in your tone, which when you try to reproduce the sentiment of it in English leads you to overact a little bit. And that's not necessarily true for all the characters, and maybe it's just a thing for Barrett, but it definitely... Cloud especially is surprisingly well acted and well portrayed. So Cloud, of course, you've certainly seen, even if you don't know the game, it's the character with the giant sword. I think he started the theme of giant swords in Japanese media, which has been, I don't know that there was someone else before him, another character before him that had this enormous, humongous phallic symbol. But he is, he's acted with a surprising amount of nuance, and I expected him to be just the powerful, dark, somewhat amnesiac hero, the traditional thing, especially in Japanese games in Japanese games. But he's a little bit more human, I think, than I remember. And maybe it was the case in the old PlayStation version as well. But of course, now that we have voices and facial expressions, he seems like, at least in the small demo, like an interesting character. But Barrett, I think, so I haven't played 7 in a long time, but I think because of the time, and especially because of how Japanese society, the relationship of Japanese society with people of color, the Barrett has apparently a lot of problems, and not just him, but in the original game. Like, it's problematic the way this and other things are portrayed. It seemed a lot better in this one, obviously. It's more of its time. But the way they speak, the way Barrett speaks, I think is, even in the dubbed version, a kind of an echo of the way the Japanese actor portrays Barrett, which I think is still, kind of marked by what Japanese people think or how they see black people. I think there might be a little bit of that, but at the same time, in Japanese media, everyone is a little bit overemphasize a little bit of a caricature, but there's a little bit of a feeling there. So the point is, I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily pointing to that for that reason, but to say that it feels like the actor that plays Barrett is overacting a significant amount, which is to a level that is distracting, I think. But overall, it feels quite acceptable. You know, it's a decent job. I'll have to listen to the Japanese version to see if it's better or not. But as I said, the graphics, the artistic design, the artistic direction, the intent of the whole thing is quite well done. Stunning at times, even, I think, is fair. And it shows how visionary it was back in the day. Like, that intro sequence was incredible for us back in the day. And it holds up today, a little bit, you know, reimagined, but it holds up. So there's all of this which gets you into it immediately. And then you get into the combat system, which none of everything that I've talked about until now would matter if that combat system didn't work. And it just works so incredibly well. Of course, the old system is a, you know, turn-based RPG, which is awesome for, and was awesome for that time. But in the current system, in the current remake, they have modernized it with learnings from, I think what I'm hearing is that the closest one is Final Fantasy 13, which I didn't love and didn't play a lot of, so I don't really remember. But it seems like there's Final Fantasy 13 and Final Fantasy 15 even inspiration, and that it mixes that with an attempt to integrate the feeling of the turn-based strategy, the turn-based system from JRPGs, and it just works. So if you haven't heard, you have an active system where you walk around in the environment and press a button to hit enemies with, in the case of Cloud, your sword. So you just do a series of hits that chain into a combo, and you just can whittle down the enemy's health with that. But then you also, as time passes and as you hit enemies, you can fill up your ATB, active time bar, something, active time ability. So you fill that bar, again, in the case of Cloud, there's two sections. There might be more or less with other characters. And you can use those units to use items or launch spells or special abilities. And when you do, you press a button that essentially pauses the action, but not completely. It's like extreme slow time. It's like bullet time, but it's so slow that it's really comfortable for you to choose through the menus what you want to do, but it's not, you know, completely paused. So you might, if you launch an ability in the wrong way, you might miss your target. Or if you wait too long, your enemy might hit you because they initiated an attack and things like that. So there's this perfect mix between turn by turn and action that works so well, so beautifully. And so there is an option to play in classic mode if you want to, which completely gets rid of that new system, which I think actually might be useful if you want a little bit of to relax a little bit, because it's quite intense. Those battles are actually heavily action-based and maybe even tiring if there's too many of them. But not only do you have one character to worry about, you can switch between the different characters of your party, or you can actually just focus on your one character, but launch special abilities or items for the other characters in your team. And so you have access to everyone, like from a UI design, like interface design. It is really brilliant and it serves the game beautifully. So all of this comes together to create an experience that is in combat really well done. And that is one thing I did 1000% not expect. And I think we've heard that theme from a lot of reviewers and YouTubers over the past few days as they've returned from their press trip and everyone's been trying the demo. The unexpected greatness, not just quality, but greatness of this demo is everywhere. And the game is coming out just in a few weeks, I think April 11, if I'm not mistaken. And it seems like it's going to be a huge hit. And there is one, not caveat, but just a word of caution. The game, it was enormously vast. And of course, as we know, the remake is going to be broken down in several sections. This one is only Midgar, the original city. And in the original game, that was maybe 7 to 8 hours. And this is going to be stretched to 30, at least several dozen hours, which could lead to something that is too stretched out and that has fill quests that aren't interesting and stuff like that. So that, I think, is not a huge concern, but a real concern. So I think I'm not saying you should rush out and pre-order it, because that could end up being a real problem for the game. But if that doesn't turn out to be a problem, and we'll have an answer with the first reviews, it is a huge success of a transformation of a game that, honestly, when it was announced, it was interesting back, when was it, 2016 maybe? And I didn't think it was going to come out this quickly. I thought it would actually possibly never come out, but we certainly didn't expect it to be that much of a reimagining of what the game was going to could be. So, yeah, overall, what a game! What a fun experience, and what a surprise, and what a triumphant return for the symbol. It's a symbol of the Japanese games industry that brings back with such know-how what made our childhoods and our joy back then. So this might be, again, a little bit premature. Let's wait for the full game to throw around these kinds of hyperbolic statements. But I am very enthusiastic and very curious to see more of it. And I really hope that the first episode is substantial. And I hope that we don't have to wait another 5 to 10 to 20 years for the next episodes. I hope that they manage to come out with the next episode. Maybe, you know, they're working hard and it's going to be ready within the first year of the next generation. And it's going to have this incredible ray tracing, which will make everything even prettier. But yeah, so... that is my impressions of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Just a little bit. You can hear how enthusiastic I am about this, and I'm not often. So we'll see. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a lot of news that will be super interesting to discuss. It won't be just me, hopefully. I'll have someone to contradict me and tell me when I'm being an idiot at that point. And until then, you can follow me on Twitter at NotPatrick. You can also follow me on Facebook at NotPatrick. And most importantly, on Instagram. I've been Instagramming quite a bit in recent weeks, and I plan to keep it up because I like that network. And so you can follow me there. I'm unsurprisingly also NotPatrick on Instagram. So check me out over there. You can comment at FrenchSpin.com, and I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.